Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Clash of Civilizations and the Remaking of World Order by Samuel P. Huntington is a major work of post-Cold War political analysis that argues global conflict would increasingly be shaped less by ideology or economics and more by culture and civilizational identity. Huntington proposes that the world is organized into broad civilizations, often defined by religion, history, and shared values, and that tensions between these groupings would become a central driver of international politics. Rather than predicting constant war, the book offers a framework for understanding why alliances form, why disputes persist, and why modernization does not necessarily mean westernization. Huntington also examines the shifting balance of power, the challenges facing the West, and the risks that arise when states and leaders misread cultural boundaries. The book is influential and controversial, frequently discussed in international relations, security studies, and policy circles because it provides a clear, debatable thesis about how identity shapes the global order. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, civilizations as the key unit of global politics. Huntington centers his argument on civilizations as the broadest meaningful cultural communities in world affairs. In this view, people can share citizenship, class, or ideology. But in periods of uncertainty, they often anchor belonging in older markers such as religion, language, and historical memory. The book outlines a set of major civilizations and emphasizes that these are not just academic categories but living sources of solidarity and rivalry. This framework explains why conflicts may cluster along cultural boundaries rather than along purely strategic or economic lines. It also clarifies why certain partnerships feel natural while others remain brittle even when interests appear aligned. Huntington stresses that civilizations are internally diverse and states still matter, but civilizational identity influences how leaders and publics interpret threats and opportunities. He also argues that cultural commonality can enable cooperation, while cultural distance can magnify mistrust and miscalculation. By treating identity as a structural feature of the international system, the book challenges assumptions that modernization leads to cultural convergence. Instead, it presents a world where differences persist and can become politically salient when power shifts, migration rises, or ideological competition fades. Secondly, fault lines and the dynamics of conflict. A core topic is the idea of fault line conflicts, disputes that occur along the boundaries between civilizations and can involve states, communities, or both. Huntington argues that these conflicts are often more enduring and emotionally charged because they are tied to identity, sacred values, and collective memory. He contrasts these with traditional interstate rivalries by highlighting how kin country support can internationalize local struggles. When groups perceive a threat to their culture or status, outside actors who share civilizational ties may feel pressure to assist, escalating the confrontation. The book also explores how proximate communities, mixed populations, and contested borderlands become flashpoints where everyday grievances connect to larger narratives. Huntington discusses the role of demographic pressures, historical trauma, and political entrepreneurs who mobilize identity for power. This topic encourages readers to look beyond immediate triggers and examine deeper patterns where boundaries are sharp, where identities overlap, and where institutional arrangements fail to manage pluralism. It also implies that diplomacy must account for symbolism and perceptions, not only material concessions. Even when negotiations address territory or security, the underlying question of recognition and legitimacy can determine whether a settlement holds. Thirdly, modernization without westernization. Huntington argues that economic growth, technological adoption, and state modernization do not automatically produce Western values or Western political models. Instead, rising powers may modernize while reaffirming their own cultural traditions, sometimes becoming more self-confident and more resistant to external influence. This distinction matters because many policy assumptions treat development as a path toward cultural convergence, expecting societies to align with liberal norms as incomes rise. Huntington challenges that expectation and suggests that modernization can strengthen non-Western identities by expanding education, communications, and organizational capacity. As societies become wealthier and more capable, they may also demand greater respect for their distinctive institutions and moral frameworks. The book frames this as a source of friction, especially when Western actors interpret difference as backwardness or when non-Western leaders present westernization as a threat. The topic also highlights the role of religion in modern politics, arguing that secularization is not inevitable and that religious revival can accompany modernization. For readers, this lens helps interpret why global integration can coincide with cultural assertion and why the spread of markets and technology does not guarantee political uniformity. Fourthly, the West power, universalism, and strategic limits. Another major theme is the position of the West in the changing world order. Huntington contends that Western power, while still significant, faces relative decline as other societies increase their economic and military capabilities. He warns that problems arise when Western states treat their values and institutions as universally applicable and assume they will be welcomed everywhere. In his analysis, universalist rhetoric can provoke backlash by appearing as cultural dominance rather than principled leadership. The book explores the tension between promoting ideals and respecting civilizational plurality, arguing that effective strategy requires prudence, self-knowledge, and an awareness of limits. Huntington also emphasizes internal cohesion, suggesting that Western strength depends on shared cultural confidence and political unity. He connects this to debates about immigration, identity, and social fragmentation, which can weaken collective purpose. In policy terms, the topic encourages a shift from expecting global convergence to managing diversity through realistic alliances and restrained goals. Whether readers agree or disagree, the argument provides a structured way to evaluate interventions, democracy promotion, and the risks of framing conflicts as moral crusades rather than complex contests shaped by identity and power. Lastly, core states, alliances, and the search for order, Huntington proposes that stability within and between civilizations often depends on core states, powerful countries that can provide leadership, set norms, and contain disputes among culturally related states. Where a civilization lacks a recognized core, or where multiple contenders compete, the risk of fragmentation and conflict increases. This idea links culture to geopolitics by suggesting that shared identity can facilitate coordination, but only if there is credible leadership and clear hierarchy. The book also examines how alliances may form along civilizational lines, especially when external threats appear. At the same time, it notes that states still pursue interests, so alignments can be pragmatic and temporary even when cultural ties exist. Huntington uses this framework to think about international institutions, arguing that legitimacy and effectiveness depend on whether rules reflect the realities of power and cultural diversity. Rather than assuming a single global consensus, the book anticipates a more plural order, where negotiation among civilizations is central. For readers, this topic offers tools to interpret regional security architectures, the resilience of certain partnerships, and the difficulty of building universal norms. It also raises questions about how emerging powers seek recognition, and how global governance adapts when cultural and strategic priorities diverge. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a big-picture framework for understanding post-Cold War international politics, including students of international relations, policy professionals, journalists, and general readers who follow geopolitics. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening how they interpret news about wars, alliances, migration debates, and diplomatic crises. Instead of treating events as isolated incidents, the book pushes readers to ask what identities are being activated, which historical memories are being invoked, and how cultural perceptions shape political choices. Even for readers who disagree with the thesis, engaging it can improve critical thinking by forcing a clear test of assumptions about modernization, globalization, and the spread of liberal democracy. Compared to similar books that focus mainly on economics or institutions, Huntington offers an identity-centered lens that many find useful for pattern recognition and strategic analysis. Its value is also in its influence. Understanding the argument helps readers understand debates in policy and media that reference civilization, culture, and values. The book is worth buying if you want a coherent, disputable model to evaluate competing explanations of global conflict and cooperation. If you would like to support Samuel P. Huntington, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.